Staying connected. This is the Daily Download on 1310 WIBA.
7:31 now on 1310 WIBA. Madison in the morning on this Thursday, October 5th. The big news we continue to follow this week is that massacre in Las Vegas on Sunday. And don't need to tell you about Vegas being a very popular destination for many of us. But the future now of safety at casinos and open-air venues called into question. On the line with me, retired FBI special agent and terrorism analyst Gil Torres. Thank you so much, Mr. Torres, for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Now, we're hearing about, you know, with a sniper shooting from above. It's really not anything we've seen in recent mass shootings, but this is really, it's nothing new. I mean, when you look back at the Clock Tower massacre, Charles Whitman, and obviously Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yes, absolutely. This is nothing new, and it's actually, you know, Warfare 101, you know, you get an advantage of altitude. And, I mean, look at the Kennedy assassination as well. I mean, this kind of thing is not new. You are absolutely right. But it's new to let's say, entertainment venues, you know, that someone would do this in the manner that they did it. And I guess what's most baffling is that there's no real reason. Nothing has been determined as to why it was done.
I know. The motive, the big question of motive, and I'd heard some of the experts weighing in, and I'll ask you, Mr. Torres, being that you are a former FBI agent, do you expect at some point some sort of manifesto is going to show up here?
You know, I kind of expected it to
by now?
Show up. Sooner. I mean, I figured that if anyone who had decided to go out this way, because he knew it was going to happen. Obviously, he took his life right before or at the time that the police made their entry. But I don't know. This guy sort of doesn't fit. I mean, even the Unabomber had. It took years, decades to catch him, and he had he was I don't know, methodical about what he did. This even though this had a lot of some precision and some planning, it was also it also appeared like it almost seemed, if you study his life as I know it through the media. Again, this guy didn't fit any mold that any we've seen before. I mean, he was white. He was way over middle age. He was wealthy. I mean, why? There's no. That's the one question that no one has an answer to at the moment.
And now, security experts predicting that are we going to see? You think we need to see, or will there be big changes security-wise at casinos, open-air venues? I mean, you look at some of these madmen and women in the past. If there's a will, is there a way? No matter what you do,
I think that is true. I think that we will see. I think the public will demand that there be something done. But I think that at the end of the day, I don't know that we can thwart every crazy man or hell bent idealist. It's just going to be tough. I mean, you can use a lot of things that are out there as some kind of delivery vessel or whatever. You can. Weapons are abundant in our country, and then, you know, you have those that can build things. So it is tough. It is tough. And I just made the comment yesterday that, and then in football season, in any how many football games are going on in the whole country? I mean, we are a country of soft targets.
Yeah, you just made me sick there saying that, you know, just as if we think about everywhere that can be.
Sure.
Yeah.
So anyone who wants to hurt people, you can do it. You can do it.
But there's got to be a way to kind of stifle that. We can't just give up and say, well, they're going to do it.
No, we're not. I don't think we're going to give up. I think we're going to, I think you and I are going to see increased security, and I think, you know, the security industry is going to grow out of this. But, I mean, again, there will be, you know, there will be things that we are not thinking about or we're not prepared for, because we're just not thinking that way. We're trying to do the best with what we've got, but certainly there isn't, a situation where you can be 100%. Mm-hmm. You know, huge venues like the Super Bowl are planned months, if not a year in advance. The president travels, and he's got these professionals in the Secret Service that do crime surveys. They have advanced teams. They do things very methodically, and they go out there with plenty of time, and they sort of have a roadmap as to how they're going to react. They know where every hospital is. They know where every route, every alternate escape route is, and whatnot. They really look into it. So are we going to do that with the next charity concert? Are we going to do? Are we going to have snipers and observers doing counter surveillance, if you will? I mean, I don't know. It depends, it depends on how important the venue, how large it is. But I think that we're all going to pay more for concert tickets and for hotel rooms and for all these other things because there is a price tag for all of this.
All right. Gil Torres, I know your time is limited. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes and joining us this morning, a retired FBI special agent and terrorism analyst. Switching gears here, lightening it up quite a bit. School times here in the Madison School District, and they're looking at starting classes later for elementary and middle school kids. On the line with me right now, Madison School Board member Dean Loomis. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning.
Now, the way it is now, elementary and middle school kids, they start between, 7:35, 7:45?
Well, middle school all start at 7:30, and we have a division in our elementaries. 12 start at 7:45, and 20 start at 8:30, so there's a big gap there. Why we want to do this is pretty clear. There is great research and proven data that demonstrate improvements in attendance, tardiness, and skill levels as demonstrated in results on standardized tests that show a later start time, particularly in middle schools, starting at earliest around 8:30, demonstrate improvement in all those areas. Now, that's linked with child development in at those ages that clearly show a little bit more sleep, improve a lot of things, their development and also those areas that are clearly pointed out in the research.
Yeah, and that goes hand in hand also, I know, with older school kids in their teen years. Now, what time do the high schools all start later, right?
8:30, yeah.
8:30, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so this, goes hand in hand with that perhaps, kids, there's just certain pattern as we develop from children into teens that I used to be a grumpy old lady and saying, well, just go to bed earlier, but it doesn't quite work that way.
Yeah, it's really difficult to do that. Anyone who's had children understands what happens when you get into middle school. Things just start firing. Now, the other thing is to recall this, you have to look at this from the lens of an achievement gap closing strategy. There is not one thing you can do to address the achievement gap. You have to take a comprehensive approach. And clearly, this is a good strategy that will improve skill levels and for all of our students. But if you look at it through achievement gap, it also will work on that end. So what we started doing this last year. The first proposal we had, we figured out that it would cost us over $2 million to do. Now the second, then we said, and that's a little bit of a big chunk that we didn't know if we could work. The survey results also didn't, the times we suggested didn't work with folks.
Dean, can I ask, why the price tag there of that $2 million? You know, aren't you essentially just starting school a little later? You're doing the same thing, but it's a little later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question, because it's the logistics of coordination with the bus services that we have, particularly with Metro Bus, who provide these services, and it just wasn't going to work. We'd have to hire a lot more. Mm-hmm. And so the calculation really came to that. And so now what we're offering is a plan that actually reduces that by more than half, into $600,000 to $900,000 a year, because it also includes changing all of our elementary schools to 830 and middle schools as well, and also includes hiring more yellow buses to do almost all the middle school routes.
Okay.
Now, there are logistics things here, too, that have to be worked out. One is that there's a national shortage of bus drivers, so that is a problem. There are also things that people need to know, that public schools are required to provide transportation for parochial schools, students that go to schools. I don't know if a lot of people know that. So that has to be factored in as well. But and also after school planning is impacted. So logistics all have to be coordinated. But I think everyone can understand the benefit. If you got middle school starting at 7:30, there are some kids standing out waiting for their bus to pick them up prior to 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it's dark in the winter.
Oh, I remember those days myself. Yeah, living out in the country. And
so
sure,
there's every parent's going, no, we can't, you know, that's not good. So an 8:30 start time is the earliest time that the results start to show. So anything after that gets a little bit more problematic and logistically complicated. But the $600,000 to $900,000 that we're looking at is palatable, because it's worth it if we get these results.
Yeah, okay. And again, talking about much focus has been, and rightfully so, on closing that achievement gap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a gap-closing strategy. On the surface, you wouldn't think so, but all the results show that. And then when you look at it a little bit more closer, we all know that middle school kids are going through all kinds of physical and mental changes in their development. And more sleep helps let them get up a little earlier or a little later. It works, because, as you suggested, trying to get them to go to bed earlier just doesn't work. So that's how this all works. Now, there'll be more. The proposal that we heard Monday is going to get, we're going to get even more data, and it'll be back in front of the board in December.
Okay.
So people want to... we really urge people to contact us and give us their thoughts on this, and look at the proposal, and feel free to contact us, and we can email the board. We read every email, or even show up at the meeting.
Okay. School board member, Madison School Board member Dean Loomis, thanks so much for joining us
this
morning. It is 7:44 now on 1310 WIBA.